We didn't talk at all about Brother's Girlfriend.
Oh, she was a total theater kid. She was like the third thing she says is a reference to Phantom of the Opera.
What, how did she reference Phantom of the Opera? It didn't, well, they're making that.
It was a book before it was a play. She was like, I'm a time traveler. I'm from the future, and let me tell you, Phantom of the Opera is gonna be dope.
Don't shift your weight. Don't stare. And for God's sake, whatever you do.
Hello, and welcome to March Bradness.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Sarah.
And this is March Bradness, the world's only March Madness-style Brad Pitt-themed podcast, where we're pitting each of Brad Pitt's movies against each other in a quest to discover the ultimate Brad.
Today's episode, we're pitting A River Runs Through It with Across the Tracks.
This podcast is going to have spoilers in it because we're going to talk about the whole movie because Brad Pitt's in all of each of these movies. So if you don't want to be spoiled, pause us, go hunt them down, and then pick back up.
Yeah, watch along with us. We do encourage that. It probably makes it more interesting.
Definitely.
Or just don't be a wimp and deal with the spoilers
from these movies from the early 90s.
So we're back in Montana this week. Did you miss it? You were talking the last episode about how much you like Montana.
I really like Montana.
So here we are again.
Yeah, we went back. We actually filmed this episode in Montana. Really set the ambiance.
Yeah, because all that sponsorship money is just rolling right
in. It's rolling right through.
Yeah.
We brought the group with us, too.
Yes.
They'll show up later. Their flight was delayed, so they're still in transit.
Yeah, so we're just recording a little intro before they get here.
The first movie we're talking about today is going to be A River Runs Through It, which was directed by Robert Redford and stars Brad Pitt as Robert Redford as the kid who invents fly fishing, except not really. This movie is the movie that your hungover substitute teacher who's like, I'm here for a week because your teacher is getting like their knee replaced. This is the movie they show because you watch it in half-hour increments over the course of, like, 3 weeks.
Absolutely, and every day is torture, and every day you're like, what's happening?
You're just, like, drawing in the back, passing notes.
You look up, and Brad Pitt is, like, fly fishing and getting beat up.
And then you look down, and then you look up again, and it's, like, a completely different person, and you're like, what? And he's like, I went to college, I'm better than everyone, and you're like, bah!
You look up and Joseph Gordon-Levitt is there.
Look up, a kid staring at a bowl of oatmeal. It's like, it's a weird movie. That sort of banter we just did makes it sound way more interesting than it actually is.
We took the best parts. We consolidated 5-minute highlight reel. Brad Pitt getting in a fight with his brother in the kitchen. Seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a baby. His first role ever.
Speakeasy. Getting pulled in a river.
Old Rawhide and her butt tattoo. Fly fishing.
There you go.
That's kind of all you need to know, I think, plot-wise. It's just a movie about brothers in the Wild West, Montana, just like we just saw in Legends of the Fall, except in this one, Brad Pitt doesn't go to war, and he doesn't scalp anybody.
And he's not hot. This is a movie where nothing happens, but it's not a good movie where nothing happens. Like, I'm a slut for movies where nothing happens. I love me some Inside Llewyn Davis's. I love me some, like, in-depth character studies.
Some Boyhood.
Yeah, some Boyhood.
This is like a Montana Boyhood, except...
except it's not good.
So does that cover it for you? Do you feel caught up? Do you feel like you watched the movie if you didn't watch it? I hope so.
Because we're going to go to the gang. Their flight just got in.
Oh, shit. Here they are. So here we have Joe, Jack, and Maya. And extra special surprise guest, Jess.
I'm Joe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Maya.
What?
Introduce yourself. We're recording.
I psychically intuited that we were all here talking about Brad Pitt.
I think you got a little something on your nose. It's a sunburn.
Well, Jess, you should be real glad you didn't watch, I'm going to say either of these movies.
But especially the movie that we're going to talk about first.
Yeah, the movie we're going to talk about after you introduce yourself.
I'm Jess. I spent the entire weekend on an 8-foot-long, 6-foot-tall pool floaty that was shaped like a clam.
I'm depressed talking about this shitty movie.
The whole point of this movie is it's celebrating this really, like, specific white male life. They focused on this Presbyterian minister and how, like, reserved and austere his life is, right? And you're supposed to love that for some reason. And then there's these shots of fly fishing, too, and that's supposed to be important.
Some positive points for this movie. It did open on a river running through it.
Yeah.
Unlike Legends of the Fall, which had no falls.
Very confusing.
No one even tripped.
Another positive experience is that in the beginning, there's, like, Fight Club Junior, like MasterChef Junior, but for fight clubs. Mm-hmm. And the kids, like, get in a little boxing ring in the alley. Wow, those kids were going at it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I guess, if you're into kids beating each other up.
I love movies with a lot of kids kicking.
That was probably the most action in the movie.
Yeah, definitely the most. There's a scene where the child actor that grows up to be Brad Pitt is, like, really, really pissed off, sitting at the table staring at this bowl of oatmeal that looks wholly unappetizing. And in the little DVD chapter menu, it's called Boy versus Oats. Which is...
We shouldn't go without saying that they get down on their knees next to their chairs when they say grace and pray, and it's like they're all about to get executed.
It's like really hardcore.
Yeah.
There were
three women.
There was his mom. There was this native woman who was, like, stunningly beautiful and was on screen for, I don't know, 3 minutes? And then there were assorted flapper girls.
Are you forgetting about old Rawhide? I changed my Twitter handle to Old Rawhide.
I saw that! Old Rawhide, we met at a bar, throwing back her, like, God knows how many a whiskey shot. Dates the brother-in-law for a while.
They go fuck in his car and, like, drink and drive around all night, and then they're supposed to go fly fishing early the next morning. They're both wasted still. He pours into a cone cup that's leaning against his leg some Pepto-Bismol and vodka, and then he and Old Rawhide proceed to get naked, fuck, and pass out in the sun. Perfect sunburns on their front and back when they come back to the house. And Old Rawhide gets in the car with Brad Pitt, and she's like, I'm dry as hell right now. Give me some booze. That's her whole character.
Yeah.
Just a drunk who sleeps with another drunk.
Yeah. She's got a tattoo across her ass cheeks says love.
Yeah.
And there's a long time where Brad Pitt and the boring brother are, like, trying to figure out what it says, despite the fact that they're a newspaper man and a college professor. Jeez. I guess they can't read.
Yeah.
She was the deepest woman in the whole movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Most dimensionality.
As a kid, Brad was like, I'm going to be a professional fly fisher when I grow up. And then he didn't.
Yeah, then becomes a newspaper man.
With gambling debt.
Yeah.
One thing that the boys were freaking out over, and us too, is that, like, at the end, Brad Pitt is not in the best headspace, and he goes out to the river and is fly fishing, and the current picks up, and you're like, God, finally, there's 20 minutes left, something has gotta happen.
Because the movie opens up with him and the brother going down this stolen boat, down a waterfall, and surviving, so you're like, oh shit, yeah, it's gonna pay off.
So he's there, and the shot changes more frequently than once every 2 minutes, and it's the music swells, and then the scene cuts.
They had him under the water.
Everybody was
all the way under.
Rooting for Brad to die.
We wanted him to die so bad.
Yeah. And he's Brad.
He's Brad.
We never want Brad to die.
While they do have flapper girls and jazz clubs, what they don't have at any point, despite having a gambling addict as a character, is a single hand of poker being played.
Really, it's Brad's. It's what does him in, is the gambling. And there's no evidence of it outside of him blatantly saying, I'm not addicted to gambling.
No, it's fine. I'll be fine. Well, they won't even let you play. Oh, yes, they will. With what? You are in debt up to your goddamn neck. Norm, it's my debt. Okay, it's my debt.
The movie would have been far more compelling if it had given each brother their own stage and said, this is Brad's life, and this is how he develops, and this is Ugly Brother's life, and how he develops.
Yeah.
Instead, all you get is Steve Boreanaz's life, and Brad, like, being the far more interesting character that you catch glimmers of every mm-hmm. once in a while, and then he meets a demise that should have a moral ending, but it's more like, yesterday he caught a big fish with the family and then apparently got beat to death with a revolver
which
in an alley.
You do not see.
Yeah, we should.
They're gonna give him a demise that gives anyone else besides him the responsibility for his fall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, the legend of
instead,
his
he is, yeah. you know, killed alone.
Yeah.
Right. Off yeah. screen. They had two chances to kill him on screen, and they didn't take either of them. Apparently, one of them wouldn't have been true to what actually happened, but, like, who cares?
And you know what? You know what? We still had to sit through his funeral.
Right?
Oh, yeah. We did.
We didn't get to see his death, and we had to sit through his funeral.
It wasn't satisfying.
But the Brad...
Can we all agree this was his worst look yet?
It was so bad.
Yeah. Like, they took a young Brad Pitt and were like, held a photo of Robert Redford. Like, how can we make this look like this?
Yeah.
Where he has a swagger and a stiff posture with his broad shoulders in his later movies that, like, makes him compelling and charismatic. In this one, he's, like, still floppy.
He wasn't cool for a cool character.
And it was the first time I've ever seen that. Like, even... Like, the great thing about Brad and his swagger, a lot of times it's a little bit self-deprecating. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Ocean's 11, like, he's the cool guy, but he's also kind of an idiot without blatantly ever, like, being the idiot. He didn't have any of that, and there were moments where he tried some sort of, like, cool thing, swagger thing, and we were just, like, couldn't get over the fact that he was just trying so hard. I don't know what happened between this movie and Legends of the Fall, but he learned something. Someone told him something that changed his
life. They're like, yo, Brad, you're hot.
I think it wanted to be a movie that is slow and more about the ambiance than anything, but, like, they didn't take a single risk in anything, including the acting and everything. Like, everything was so tame. The visuals, the writing.
It was Oscar bait.
Maybe Brad was so boring because when he tried being interesting, they were like, you have to tone it down.
Brad, you have to shh. I see you're at a 5 right now. I really need you to be at a 2.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. This movie got 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And it also won the Oscar for Best Cinematography, which makes no sense.
Slow motion fly fishing.
Because Brad, really, his cheekbones, they were like, oh yeah, nice.
We found out that Brad has a smallpox vaccine scar.
Yeah! Because he's that age. He's got the little circle scar on his shoulder. Ah, so good.
Can I comment one thing about his physique, which I thought was interesting? Is this came out 2 years before Legends of the Fall, and he's a lot smaller. He bulked up a lot for Legends of the Fall. I mean, like, obviously we all appreciated his body beforehand, but it kind of makes you think, like, oh yeah, he worked hard for that.
He did. Brad never skips leg day.
The only situation where I would ever have come across that movie is if I was scrolling through channels on, like, a Sunday, and it was on television, and there was nothing that would have kept me watching. Even after seeing the Brad, I would have been like, used to be in a lot of crap. This movie for an uncle you don't like for Christmas, or...
I think he'll really connect with it and
find those themes important.
Well, I guess we'll end that. Start a fight club,
Brad reputation! Okay, Google. What's going on with Brad Pitt right now?
Here's what I found.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are selling olive oil from their French chateau together. This is from Glamour.com. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are embarking on a new joint business venture. The actors are now selling their own extra virgin olive oil called Miravel Olive Oil. The gourmet extra virgin olive oil is produced on 26 acres of land at Chateau Miravel. The couple's $60 million 1,100-acre French villa. It's $30 a bottle.
Alright, that's, like, not outrageous for olive oil.
Yeah.
Can we buy some Brad and Angie olive oil?
Yeah, well, I mean, a spokesperson for the oil said that the first release of the product only included 10,000 bottles.
Well, if it's only $30 a pop, where do I get my hands on that? Or do I have to be on, like, a list?
I think they're just selling it in Europe right now. I think they're going to sell it in the U.S., like, a little bit later. That's what the thing says.
Here's an idea. Flights to Europe are still ridiculously cheap.
Okay.
Fly to Europe for $400 round trip, get a bottle of olive oil,
fly back home,
and then sell it at an upsell. It's like the Neopets restocking.
All right.
But IRL.
IRL, Neopets restocking. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
You could buy more than one bottle at a time, but they might catch on to you.
They'd be like, hey, these Americans, they're buying a lot of this $30 olive oil.
I think that olive oil from Brad and Angie would be worth a pretty penny, don't you?
Definitely. They also have a rosé that I guess is really good.
What?
Yeah.
I want to get drunk on Brad and Angie's wine and then eat bread dipped in Brad and Angie's olive oil.
Definitely.
And then cry about their divorce.
Definitely, yeah. That feels correct. to me.
I have a couple.
You know who else is crying a lot?
Who?
Brad Pitt, because he's listening to a lot of Bon Iver. Brad Pitt is apparently coping with his divorce by smoking a lot of weed, making a lot of sculptures, and listening to a lot of Bon Iver.
Who isn't?
Smoking weed and making sculptures and listening to Bon Iver.
I'm not doing any of those things.
I'm only doing one of them, which is Bon Iver.
Bon Iver?
Yeah. I really like listening to Bon Iver when it's like sad and gloomy like it is right now. I'm like looking out the bus window being like, we aren't magnificent.
This is where we split as people. I got my Carly Rae Jepsen. I got my, I can't think of anything.
Just Carly. You only listen to Carly Rae Jepsen.
That's all it is. It's Carly Rae Jepsen. In an act of self-preservation.
It's fair.
In Trump's America, I listen exclusively to Carly Rae Jepsen on repeat. Just like all the 24/7. Time. It's right now I have earphones in and I'm listening to it.
One ear. Yeah. You're only getting half the Carly, but like it's yeah. better than nothing.
Do-do-do. Keeps me going.
Oh, real. Hunter Harris, she works for Vulture. She did a nice recap of what she thinks Brad is listening to, like the Bon Iver songs that he's listening to, which is a pretty good article. I would recommend checking it out. Full disclosure, Hunter and I went to college together, and she's super cool, and I hope she's listening.
What do you think? Do you think he listens to Holocene on the bus?
On the bus, and he thinks about his gay OCs. You know, I feel like I want to say yeah. You know, Brad's like, that's a good divorce song.
God, I can't think of a better divorce song.
Like, at once you fucked it all, it's on its head.
That's so sad.
Yeah, and once I knew I was not magnificent. Oh, Brad!
Jeez, now I'm gonna cry. God. So I guess my last question, is for this olive oil venture, do you think that means that they're talking?
I don't know a lot about how olive oil is made.
Do you think they're hand pressing it together?
I'm wondering if they had already, since they already have the rosé that they make, I feel like olive oil takes a while and they got started on the process pre-divorce.
Yeah.
I don't know, again, yeah. how olive oil's made.
Okay, well, in my heart, they're in a room together.
Currently discussing olive oil
yeah. like,
percentages?
Yes.
I mean, like, Brad and Jen ran Plan B, the production company.
Okay.
They co-founded it together. It was, like, a thing that they did while they were married.
Okay.
And then in the divorce, Brad got Plan B. Probably because okay. it's Plan B, like, his name, Brad.
Plan B for Brad? Does Brad have anything to do with Plan B, the emergency contraceptive?
I don't know. I imagine, you know, Brad has probably paid for his share of Plan B.
He's like, I may as well invest in this. Hell, I'll buy it out. But this is a good name, so I think I'm going to use it for my movie company, too.
I imagine that Brad Pitt doesn't pay standard, like, self-employment 1099 taxes because he does everything through Plan B, like, incorporated. I talked to my mom about this. She's right. like, he incorporates himself, so he's a business.
Oh, okay, there we go.
As opposed to, like...
This is a question for you.
Audience.
Audience, if you know this, please write in our contact form at marchbradness.net. If you are an actor in Hollywood... Are you an independent contractor, and do you pay your 1099 taxes? Do you do quarterlies?
Did Brad Pitt have to do 1099s for World War Z? Did he get, like, Brad, you have to pay $7 million in taxes at once or whatever?
That's so funny to me. If so, and then, like, what kind of deductions can you take as an actor?
Flights, probably.
Definitely.
Lots of business lunches.
Oh, what about, like, you're getting your hair done? Well, yeah, I mean, it's all done on set, right? Yeah. So, okay. Well,
and then, like, keeping, like, the Brad Pitt brand on, like, when he went through his bracelet phase, were all of his bracelets part of his image?
Were those
tax write-offs?
I would say all of my clothes ever.
All of my clothes
dedicated
ever.
Because my brand is my business.
Yeah, exactly. And I am my brand.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Interesting loophole. Well, there's no reason why we can't start that right now, as now that we're famous because we got published in the local newspaper.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everything we do.
I'm Max from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Hey, Max, do you want to be on our podcast?
Max, you can be on our podcast.
You should absolutely be on our podcast. Okay, so yeah, so from now on, everything I do is a tax write-off.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everything. Because it's my brand.
You know who probably didn't have to pay taxes, though?
Who?
Brad Pitt's character in Across the Tracks because he was 17.
Oh, he was too young.
He didn't have to pay taxes.
What a simple life. You know, the stress-free existence of not paying taxes really shines through in this Brad. which we're going to see when we talk about it right now.
Across the Tracks.
A love story about two brothers from 1990.
How a 27-year-old Brad Pitt got into Stanford.
Yeah. Brad Pitt was 27. He plays the star of his high school's track team, who runs into some problems when his younger brother gets out of juvie for stealing a car and smoking dubs.
Just like Brad.
Just like Brad.
Just like IRL Brad.
IRL Brad.
Brad's like living in a trailer park with like his single mom, but then he comes home one day and his younger brother is there, and he's real mad to see him. He just got out of juvie.
This movie has, like, weirdly similar brother tropes to the other one. Brad is the good kid in this one. It's very The OC, you know?
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Good kid, bad kid.
It's a very L.A. grunge movie.
So what winds up happening, though, is, like, the tension from the movie arises from the brother. He also, for some reason, runs fast, even though he's, like...
Because they made him run a mile in juvie every day.
So they're competing, and Brad's like, oh, I'm a really good guy, and I want to help my brother out, but I also really need to win this because I want to go to Stanford.
Yeah. Yes. The whole thing was Brad's idea. He was like, hey, you should quit hanging out with those hoodlums, and you should go running with me, and you should join the track team. He would later regret that decision.
Yes.
He had this really high-pitched voice he used the entire movie.
He was like,
his voice is very consistent usually in all of his in his movies, but it was like, instead of being like, hey guys, when's the track meet? He's like, hey guys, when's the track meet?
Like in a health class movie.
Like, yeah, seriously, like he's speaking from his throat and also high-pitched the whole time, which, I mean, it does sound boyish, but it was like, probably didn't need to do
that. He's doing the same, like, accent and voice and speech pattern as he does in Dark Side of the Sun. It's a very similar Brad.
It's his teen Brad voice.
Teen Brad voice. I'm 27, but I can play 17 too.
Yeah.
The brothers, the way he runs.
Yeah.
It's more of a toddle than like an actual run.
He's using a lot of energy to not go very far. Yeah.
Those legs go real high.
Pitt, on the other hand, actually is like super ripped. Like he's like all muscle.
He's sinewy.
Yeah, I believe that he runs.
Definitely. You asked at one point what his sport of choice was. He's definitely, like, sport built. He's, like, very strong in this healthy, I play a sport way.
Yeah, like, he definitely is training for something.
Running.
He looks like an actual track athlete.
It could be track, yeah.
Or cross country.
Tennis or something.
Yeah, very slim and built.
Massive delts.
Huge delts.
He is,
like, spheres.
This Brad, just jumping right into Boy Lover right here. This Brad is so good. 10 out of 10. Real hot.
You're getting right to it.
Yeah, I told you I was getting right to it.
One thing in Brad's hotness worth mentioning is he had a lot of really great outfits.
Oh my god, they were so good.
This movie's 1990, and it was like very much like geometric stripes, primary, secondary colors.
He was rocking the official color scheme of the early 90s at one point.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
That teal and purple.
He's got those sweatpants that you can buy for like $4 at Axeman, where we went today.
Yeah.
Axeman, Minneapolis staple. That's you should absolutely cool. go. It's
you can
so
buy,
good.
Buy motors and pants that look like Brad Pitt's pants in Across the Tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good.
He had a lot of like high waisted, really light wash jeans and
white sneakers.
This movie had a great soundtrack.
Oh yeah,
and it starts right away. Like you click play and it's just like and then those like really dramatic opening credits.
Again, such a contrast.
Yeah,
with the river runs through it.
We literally like. Like, hollered. Like, everyone was like, finally! Like,
action. There's more action in the first, like, 2 minutes of this movie than there is in the entire 2 hours of A River.
He threw a really good temper tantrum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think Brad has a number of really solid temper tantrums in this movie.
He cries.
Ugh, love early Brad crying.
Brad was,
early Brad tears.
He was anti-racist. He beat some people up.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. What's his face? The drug dealer says the N-word.
Yeah.
Which, we were keeping track of when the movies got racist, and this one got racist.
It was 45 minutes.
An hour and 18 minutes into the movie, whereas A River Runs Through, it was 45 minutes, so...
Better.
Better. Not great, but better.
Yeah, later's better. Sure.
There's a scene where he's perched on a fence like a little bird because he's like sad that his brother isn't home at the right time or something.
He did make a note of that.
Don't do that to mom! Because he loves his mom.
Yeah. It's cute.
Brad ran everywhere in this movie. Not just when he was running, if somebody was like, hey, Brad, come over here, he would run the whole way.
Yeah. He's always got his head in the game.
He's like a video game character.
Yeah. Like a Sim.
I have this written down, and I'm not sure if I heard this wrong. Did he describe himself as a knee man in this movie?
The obligatory scene where the brothers talk about what they find attractive in a woman.
Right? Yeah, they were like, are you an ass man? And he was like, I'm a knee man. Yeah.
I think I was just trying to block out that entire scene.
That's a bad place to go.
Yeah.
Oh, we missed the best part. When Brad and his brother are talking at the pier about whether they're an ass man or a knees man, Brad Pitt has 2 cans of Coca-Cola looped in his belt.
But so. I just don't get, like, they're wobbling all over the place, like, hitting this jump.
Yeah, so they're gonna get,
like, super carbonated.
They're gonna get a warm Coke that when they open is gonna explode all over them and then be flat when they drink it. It looked really cool.
In this movie, Brad makes his bed and folds his socks.
Best movie ever!
He knows how to ward off that depression that he clearly has after the death of his father, and so he's driving himself real hard.
Spoiler alert, he gets into Stanford. And
I'm so proud of him.
Because the brother kind of like is like...
He threw the race.
Yeah,
the
brother,
his brother, after kicking Brad Pitt's ass in a big meet, and very much upsetting Brad, goes on to give away the final race to Brad.
Billy, why did you slow down the last 10 yards?
Okay, outkick me, Joe, that's all.
That's bullshit!
You ran a good race, Joe.
It's bullshit!
What is wrong with you?
You were dogging it, man.
No, I wasn't, Joe.
You dogged it. You let me win, man.
No,
why?
I didn't, Joe.
Why, don't... Billy, you're lying to me. Don't lie to me!
Brad, I don't know, he was just being such a little bitch about the brother beating him, and I think he should have... run faster.
We've never had a sibling. Now have you?
Yeah, it's a call out
post. It really sucks when your sibling beats you at something.
Brad should be an only child next.
Brad, the real Brad has 2 siblings, though.
He does.
Doug and Sharon, I think?
Brad, too.
Brad's the oldest. Brad's the oldest child.
I wish Brad had 2 sisters.
I don't know, this movie just had the perfect amount. Like, whereas the other movie had either too few characters, like, women, or too many characters, like, shitty men, this movie had, like, the perfect amount of characters.
2.
The perfect amount of exposition. And the perfect None. Amount of action.
We've had all these movies with brothers now, and this one was the one that was, like, you don't actually have to, like, start fucking your dad brother's wife, or if you're more moral and you go to college, then you'll be the brother that lives. It let both characters, like, have good lives, and that I'm looking for that now as we wear these tropes really, really thin.
No, I think that's a really good point.
Like, I'm really worried that we're gonna start to identify that, like, Hollywood actually just runs these father-son or brother-brother stories into the ground when, like, why do these need to get told at all? And this one had, like, a brother who was down on his luck being forgiven and invited into the life of the other brother, and then both of them end up succeeding, and that was nice in contrast.
Absolutely. The relationship also just felt so much more real than any of the other ones.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, it was much more plausible.
This Brad was good. We have this described as bad but genuine acting.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Mm-hmm. He just seemed really out of it in the other movie. Neither Brad did great, but this Brad was at least, like, interesting. And I felt like this Brad was playing his character. The Brad in the other movie really did not feel like he had a defined character at all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No. Sure. I mean, I think it's interesting to talk about these ones. They're pretty much the same era, Brad. Mm-hmm. Like, they're 2 years apart, 1990 and 1992. Mm-hmm. And I think we all agree that 1990 Brad is more successful. But I feel like most of that is due to the fact that Across the Tracks Brad is, like, really playable, like, for Brad, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He does better in that role. I don't think he does well in the historical
roles. Yeah, and it's just,
so
like,
far.
The writing was better. It was more obvious how he was supposed to, like, emote and mm-hmm. act. It's very, like, cut and dry, like, textbook.
Now I'm
character.
Happy.
Like,
now I'm sad.
Yeah, like, whereas...
You threw the race! Ah!
Yeah, you know, so he... It's very much him responding to action rather than having to, like, have actual substance. Mm-hmm. So I think he does demonstrably better.
Well, it's definitely more compelling. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it's still not, like, a good acting performance or whatever you want to talk about with this kind of movie, it's way more fun.
Oh, yeah. I care about this Brad. Yeah. I was actively rooting for A River Runs Through It Brad to die. If this Brad, when he was, like, drunk and throwing away his track life, I was like, no, Brad, don't.
I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'm going to say that unanimously, Across the Tracks is moving forward in the bracket. I feel like there's really no point in even debating.
We could be doing any cinematic themed bracket, and A River Runs Through It would be the loser.
Yeah.
It was not a good movie. I do not.
Was it worse than the Fall movie?
In that it was more boring.
Yes, it was more boring.
The Brad was
cinematically
worse,
but not morally worse.
Yeah.
All the tiny little things we were grasping to on Still Legends of the Fall were not
to be clear.
Yeah. he wasn't, it was not an interesting Brad. He wasn't a good Brad. He wasn't even cute.
Flat Brad.
He wasn't even charming.
Our first upset.
And Across the Tracks runs straight through A River Runs Through It.
I'm excited to watch it again.
Me too. Definitely.
If you're interested, available on YouTube. And so we watch it.
Yeah. It's true. It's from the 90s and no one cares about it, so it hasn't been taken down.
Shh, don't snitch.
Tune in next Wednesday for our next episode, A Movie Brad Pitt Should Have Been In. And tune in the Wednesday after that for our next pitting, which is World War Z versus
Meet Joe Black, two death movies.
Whoa! So many people are gonna die, you guys! It's crazy.
It's nuts.
You can't miss it.
I hope nothing terrible happens in the next 2 weeks so that this is okay.
And, like, the actors in those movies? Or just, like, death in general?
Just in general.
Are you saying you hope that, like, the zombie war doesn't break out?
Yeah, no zombie wars, no freak plane crashes or anything.
Well, okay, everybody cross your fingers. Let's do a little group meditation. I pray for no zombie wars. If you like listening to us, you should tell us. Hop on the old iTunes and give us a star rating and leave a little comment.
We can use those stars to make brackets for our next podcast, iTunes User Madness.
We'll pit you against each
other. Other commenters to figure out who has the ultimate comment. Could it be you? If you write a nice one, it could be. If you have any ideas, any thoughts, suggestions, comments, feel free to email us. Our contact information is on our website, marchbradness.net.
Find us on Facebook, March Bradness, Twitter, March Bradness, Instagram, march.bradness.
Earlier in this episode, I mentioned that you can buy sweatpants for like $3 at Axeman. Axeman is Minneapolis's and St. Paul's favorite surplus store. It's great. If you want to know what the inside of my brain looks like, go to Axeman. We're still unsponsored. If you want to sponsor us, we're like pretty cool. Our most recent Facebook post got like a bunch of hits.
3,000 hits.
3,000 eyeballs.
That's 3,000 eyeballs.
6,000 eyeballs.
6,000 eyeballs on your product.
On your product. Blue Apron. We're here. We're just another podcast that you could sponsor. Let us know. Reach out on our contact form on marchbradness.net. We love you. Goodbye.